So let us continue with our studies today. And remember our old tradition. Put watch before me, but it's easy for me, you know, it's much comfortable for me. So I want to invite and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do tonight, today I mean. Lord, thank you so much for your presence and thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful time of worship, Lord. I thank you for your presence with us. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you and we ask, Lord, change us. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to take everything you have for us. We ask in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Thank you so much for your work inside of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's Torah portion is named after one of Israel's worst enemies, Balak. One of the worst Israel's enemies, Balak. Even the meaning of the name Balak means destroyer. Let's say together, destroyer. Here we have already a revelation for us. From the beginning, his name gives us understanding that we have an enemy in our lives who has only one desire, to destroy us, to bring us to emptiness. This is truth of life, spiritual life. You will find this portion to be very instructive and to have a number of very important lessons for us. Fortunately, I have decided to save some of them for next year. So we won't have time today. The topic I want to focus on today, I'm calling, Where is your dwelling place? Where is your dwelling place? And the key verse to introduce this topic is found in Psalm number 91. So let us open Psalm 91, probably one of the most famous psalm in the scriptures. Psalm 91. And it is about us. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon, Most High. It's interesting, Elyon. Will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. You remember Shaddai? You'll have everything you need. Everything you need. I will say to Adonai, to my Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Most High, who has everything for us. And He's our God, our Lord, our fortress. So I have a question. Where are your dwelling place? Where are you dwelling today? That seems like an easy question to answer, perhaps even a bit a naive question. So, well, of course, most of us today live in the United States of America. All of us who are here, I believe. Do we have any guests from another country today? No? Yeah, all of us from America in this place. In the city of Jacksonville, who is living in Jacksonville? Let me see your hands. Wow, what a miracle. It's good. Almost all of us. Which is located on the American continent, on the planet Earth, in the solar system, which is part of the Milky Way galaxy, somewhere in the universe. It's very simple and everything is clear. So we are here in Jacksonville, Florida. But this is only one part of the truth, only one part of the truth. It is our earthly, worldly life, where our bodies live, in here. There is another very important part of our being, our spiritual identity. It is so important to remember where we live in our spirits. So where does your spirit dwell? My question is really in regard to that. So he who lives under the shelter, roof, cover of the Almighty, in the shadow, in its protection, under the watchful guard of Almighty God, finds peace and protection for himself. We have a privilege to live under his protection, in his protection. There is only one way to live under the protection of the Lord. We already read it from Psalm 91. I will say of Adonai, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This is the way. Our faith, our trust should be in the Lord, our life under his direction. That is where we must dwell. That is where we must dwell. And can you imagine, we are here right now, but in the spiritual world, our spirits, it's right now, even in the heavenly places. Wow. I will prove it from the scriptures. And that is the dwelling place that I wish to focus on today. This is what lies in my heart and what I wish to call us all to, because it is there, in the shadow of Almighty, that our spirit must dwell. So let us read Philippians chapter 3. Let us open together Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And that's right. If you think your primary citizenship in U.S. or Ukrainian or Philippine, you should consider Philippians chapter 3. This is for you and for me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. And from there we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So, Mazel Tov, you have dual citizenship. You have special visa. Actually, it's not a visa anymore. It is a citizenship given to you by the Lord Yeshua. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2. It is the same idea, but very important place of scriptures. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. But it's not enough. It's not an end. And he raised us up. Let us say together, he raised us. Is it past? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? He raised us. It is already. It is already. It happened. In the Messiah Yeshua, through him. And he raised us up with him and seated us. Seated. Already. You are there. We are there. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. What a beautiful news. And do you remember, please do not say it to anybody. It's between us. This is our small secret. This is where our real spiritual dwelling is. This is where the Lord has placed us already. Seated right next to his Son Yeshua in heavenly places. Of course, in our bodies we still live here on this earth, but in the spirit, in faith, in our hope, we have been raised from the dead, awarded a heavenly citizenship, and called to live as legal citizens in our heavenly dwelling places under the cover of God, of Most High. Why is this citizenship so important now? Why? What difference does it make for us today? Well, this is the most important question that we must ask ourselves today? I believe this is the most important question. The simple fact is that everything depends on your response to this question. Your life, your ideas, your interests, your behavior, and ultimately, your future depends on this answer. A person who lives only in this world, those only frame of reference is all the things that fill this world. That person is destined to own only the ideas and values of this world. This is true. And his interests are confined to this temporary life, to his own prosperity and happiness. Of course, we must take care of ourselves and be aware of what is happening around us. It is important. After all, we have been called to be salt to the world, to influence positive change in our world and in those who live around us. We're called to do so. But if our primary interest is in our earthly life, in its problems, its misplaced values, then we are living below our privileges. We are, of all people, the most unhappy. Actually, it's a great thing to be a believer. It is a happy thing to be a believer. We are blessed to be believers. Yeah. Somebody takes very seriously right now. We are blessed, really blessed to be believers. So how clearly Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, made this point. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It is about people who believe in the Lord, but who live in this world only by this world, only by the problems of this world. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If we have hoped in Messiah for this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all people. If we live only by this world and its interests. In this earthly life, we will not find absolute justice and order. There will never be perfection. Why? Because all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. This is truth of the Bible. And therefore, we are called to live under the cover of Most High in His values, His plans, and in trusting in Him. This is our calling. So, isn't that what today's Torah chapter is about? All chapter. Today we look at the terrible example set by Balaam, a false prophet, Balaam, who had a great spiritual gift of prophecy. He was a gifted man. But out of desire to prosper and receive unholy wealth, he decided to use his gift and his knowledge of the spiritual world to harm the people of God. This was his desire. Let us read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Peter 2, 15. It is about Balaam. It is here, clearly. They have abandoned the straight way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Wages of wickedness. And although the desire to be successful and prosperous is a good desire, understand me correctly, if one must walk in the path of wickedness to achieve that goal, then this path will lead to death and destruction. So let's take a look at Israel's calling and journey. It's a very interesting story here. Israel was called to wander the desert in very cruel and difficult living condition. It was a hard thing to walk in the desert. I mean, it's hard to walk in Florida in the summer. But praise the Lord, we have air conditioners and everything, cars. It's easy travel here. But can you imagine 40 years in the wilderness? It is not easy. But they were, at the same time, they were called to travel in the wilderness, but at the same time, they were called to dwell under the protection of the Almighty. This is the beautiful picture here. At the same time, they were in the wilderness, but at the same time, they were in the presence of the Lord. They weren't there. They were with the Lord, in His presence, in His spiritual ground, in His supernatural protection. Wow. So important to understand. When you walk through difficulty in your life, if you are with the Lord and His protection is over you, you can walk as victorious. You can be victorious in everything in the Lord, in His protection, in His glory. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 29. It's a wonderful place of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4 and 5. This is the words of Most High, the Lord, to us and to people of Israel. And I would like to read verse 4 specifically. I led you 40 years in the wilderness. It was a tough time. It was a difficult time. But your clothes have not worn out on you. And remember, there were not Walmarts in wilderness. No BJs, no Casca. But for 40 years, can you imagine, 40 years, your clothes have not worn out on you. Is it a supernatural thing? I think so. I'm sorry, ladies, I'm sharing this place with you. To have one pair of clothes or one for 4 years, so it would be a difficult time. Yeah. Okay, let's go back. But what about our sandals? And your sandals have not worn out on your feet for 40 years. Guys would say, yes, Lord. And girls would say, oh, I don't want to go to that wilderness. Let me stay in Jacksonville, Florida, yeah. What great miracles accompanied the sons of Israel on their way through the wilderness? For 40 years, supernatural presence of the Lord. They were in the wilderness. At the same time, they weren't there. They were in the heavenly places, surrounded by the presence of the Lord, in the day and night, His presence. And as long as the people lived under the protection of God, in His will and His calling, nothing bad could happen to them because of God's protection. You remember, God gave them water from the rock. I mean, very easy miracle. Try. It's very hard. Fed them with heavenly manna. Protected them from enemies who were much stronger than them for 40 years. They walked the earth, but there was God's supernatural presence and protection around them. They seemed to be in another dimension under the shadow of the Lord for 40 years. But please remember, once they departed from beneath God's cover, from beneath His protection, once they no longer lived by the values of the Torah and God's revelations, once they began to live the life and follow the ideas of the nations who surrounded them, diseases, problems, enemies, and death came upon them. We need to remember this lesson. So our Torah portion begins with the fact that Balak was afraid, the king of Moabites, was afraid of the Israelites. He heard about the great victories of the Israelites over two powerful kings, and he was afraid, realizing that he could not resist the Israelites. And do you know the small history lesson? The Moabites descended from Lot, Abraham's nephew. So they were mishpacha, they were family, related to each other, relatives. And Balak should have remembered that his Moabite people are related to the people of Abraham. And he should have rejoiced rather than being afraid of the Jews, because it was his family. And remember, the Lord told Israelites, do not touch Moabites, because they are your brothers, because they are your families. But in desperation, Balak tried to call the famous false prophet Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse the Israelites for him. And without retelling the story, please read all Torah chapter. I want to read a few verses. It is Numbers chapter 24, verse 2 through verse 9. Numbers 24, 2 through 9. So here's the Balaam, false prophet. He came to curse Israel, but the Lord turned curse to blessing. Lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. The Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit, came over him. And verse 5, his words, how lovely are your tents of Jacob and your dwellings of Israel. And please remember, this was not the words of Balaam. This was the words of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Because Balaam wants to curse, but the Lord is with Israel. Like valleys, they are spread out, like gardens beside the river, like elas planted by Adonai, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, his seed by abundant water. His kin will be greater than Agag. His kingdom will be exalted. God is bringing him out of Egypt like the strong horns of a wild ox. He devours nations hostile to him. He will crush their bones. His arrows will pierce them. He crouches like a lion or a lioness. Who would rouse him? He who blesses you will be blessed, and he who curses you will be cursed. The promise to Abraham from the Lord. What a wonderful picture here in the scriptures, that despite the hatred of the enemy and his desire to destroy Jewish people, the Lord looks upon his chosen with a heart full of love and compassion and confidence in them. I would like to share small mystery with you. You also are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. You are very special and very loved by him. Sometimes it's hard to believe, but it's true. You know yourself, but please receive it as a blessing from the Lord. You're really loved by the Lord and received by him. You see, despite all the attempts of the enemies to curse and destroy, and we have an enemy who wants to destroy us, always, this is his plan. When God is with us, then we are in his plans, under his protection. We live in a supernatural world, in a different world. We live in America, but we live in a different world. Let's read a little later, chapters 25, book of Numbers, chapter 25. And remember, the same people of Israel, the same place, the same people, the same desert, the same circumstances, everything the same, but something happened with the faith of Israel, with values of the Jewish people. Israel stopped living under the protection of God, becoming like the Moabite people in the chapter 25. They thought, and please, it's a very important thought here, they thought that Balak and his people would love the Jews and take care of them. They thought that in the desert of this life they found real and loving friends who are open to them. They thought that now, when we stopped following this God and his principles, his Torah, and live and began a normal worldly life, as all the normal people, you know, normal people around us live, Now they will appreciate and respect us, and everything will be very good for us. How wrong they were. These beloved children of God, how wrong they were. Exchanging their Heavenly Father for the temporary pleasures of this world. They left Father and they joined false God. The fact is that Balak and his type was, is, and always will be an enemy with only one desire, to exterminate people of God. Our enemy wants to exterminate us. Please remember that. Do not join with him. Join with the Lord. Walk in his presence. Balak realized that as long as God is with Israel and as long as his protection is over his people, no one can prevail against Israel. Balak hired the prophet Balaam to curse the people of Israel so that the Lord will remove his protection. But when that plan failed, Balak moved to plan B, launching another, even more cunning plan of destruction. So let us read chapter 25, verse 1 through verse 9. And actually, we will read first, second, third verses. Yeah. So Balak followed the advice of Balaam, seducing the sons of Israel into fornication with the women of Moab, and through this into a covenant with the false god of Baal Peor. And let us read Numbers 25, verse 1 through 3. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. So the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. When Israel became bound to Baal of Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. And verse 9, horrible verse, difficult verse. However, 24,000 were dead because of the plague. So they left heavenly ground, they left the place under the protection of the Lord, and 24,000 people died. So Balak's plan worked. When the Jewish people left their spiritual dwelling place and became like everyone else, began to live in sin, began to worship of alien gods, defeat came. The sons of Israel found favor in the temporary pleasure of this world and exchanged God's call on their lives for lives of temporary pleasure, and 24,000 people died. So someone might say, but it was a long time ago. The false prophet Balaam is dead already. So what about us today? Is it important for us? What can we take for ourselves from this lesson? So let us open Book of Revelation chapter 2. And this is straight to us, obviously. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through verse 17. Revelation 2, verses 12 through 17. Actually, Revelation is a great book to read. Started with verse 12. To the angel of Messiah's community in Pergamum write, thus says the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you continue to hold firm to my name. And you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan resides. And verse 14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who was teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before Bnei Israel, to eat food sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's community, to us. To the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and written on the stone a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So, what is an example here? This congregation, Pergamum, was able to survive through terrible persecutions. They were a successful and growing congregation right in the midst of Satan's presence. Why? Because they were walking in the righteousness of the Lord, in His protection, in His presence, in the heavenly places. So outward pressure wasn't able to destroy people of God because they lived in the supernatural ground. You know, Satan cannot do anything when we in the Lord. They walked with the Lord under His protection, so Satan wasn't been able to destroy them. They dwell in the shelter of Elion. They abide in the shadow of Shaddai. But at the same time, something invisible began to develop inside of the Pergamum congregation, invisible to others. The plan B from the unrighteous king Balak, plan B. And this was much more dangerous for them. Balaam's teaching is a way to defeat God's people, and it is a teaching that permits the sin and fornication or adultery among God's people or any other sin. We need to remember that. Today we are faced with the same principle that was in ancient Israel. When we live by faith and the principles of the kingdom of God, we have the protection of the Lord over us. This is truth. When we leave the ways of the Lord and choose worldly principles, then we open ourselves up to the attack of our enemy. But I want to close with Psalm 91. Let us open again Psalm 91. And I would like to pray this psalm over us. Not just read it, but pray over us. Because we called to live in the presence of the Lord. This is our dwelling place. You know, truth is that this world is very real to us. For sure, it's real. But the supernatural world also very real. Things we don't see sometimes more real for us and to us. I would like to pray this psalm over us. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of Elion will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. I will say of Adonai, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Lord, I thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. I thank You for Your mercy, Lord. I thank You for Your love, Lord. I thank You for Your protection, Lord, over all of us, Lord. I thank You, Yeshua, that You died for us and You are risen, Lord. You are living, You are alive. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Yeshua. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence every day with us, Lord. We thank You for Your presence right now in this place, Lord. We thank You for Your protection, Lord, for Your miracles, Lord, for Your healing, Lord. We thank You for joy of Your salvation, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. Thank You, Father. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite Ina, please, come to join me. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. And before we close our service with Aaron's blessing, I want to make an important announcement now. So, dear Mishpacha, we would like to ask you to pray for our family because we will have time and we are going to Ukraine to see our families. And also to bless and serve in our Jewish Messianic congregation in Nikolaev, Ukraine, which we served in for 15 years. So pray for us, please, as a family. Pray for our safe trip there and coming back. And I would like to tell you a couple things more. The services will continue as usual, so please come and participate in the life of our synagogue. And for sure, we love you and we will miss you a lot. our hearts belong to the Lord and to you. And I want to tell you the truth. We will be back for sure in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so please. Yeah, please pray for us, okay, when we will be there. So.
Yes, and of course it will be time when we will visit our families, but also it will be very important for us to be in the congregation. So pray for Nikolaev congregation and for our time there. Because, you know, we all had difficult year here, and also people in other countries had also difficult time. So I believe it will be very important for us to come and encourage people to see them, to bless them, to minister there. So please pray for this trip, and so we'll have great time.
So let us pray together. Єврехаха Адонай вишмареха, Яер Адонай панавелеха віхунеха, Іса Адонай панавелеха, Виясем леха шалом. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Love you so much. Shabbat shalom.